Good evening. It's definitely good to be here. I might have run a little late, but I've been running from Kansas, so preached over there. So, but it's definitely good to be here with you. This evening's lesson is the treatment of our enemies. And, you know, I can't help but think about 9/11. You know, I want you to think about that this evening in just a little bit. And you think about where you were on 9/11, you know, and just kind of go back and think about where you were. You know, I know we've probably felt some bitterness. We felt some anger, you know, on that day when everything fell down. But we know that it hit us hard. And we need to think about those things. And this is the 15th anniversary since then. And we had to move forward. And look where we are today. We've moved past it, but we can remember. This evening, we're going to look at how we should treat our enemies. And also, we're going to see what kind of attitude that we need to have with our enemies. Number one, our enemies, you know, they can make us bitter. Enemies can make us bitter. They make us not want to trust them or others that we may come in contact with. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And let's look at verses 16 through 19. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 16 through 19. And this is David when he's dealing with Saul. When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me." Verse 19, "For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day." You know, and then if you would, go on down to verse 21-22. "So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's household." Verse 22. "David swore to Saul, and Saul went to his home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold." We see here, you know, that David pretty much had mercy on Saul. And even though, you know, this is Saul pouring his heart out, said, "You're more righteous than I. You're more righteous than I, and you've dealt well with me when I've done wickedly to you." And he was admitting his wrong. You know, David's attitude, you know, he could have reacted differently. David could have reacted differently, but he had pity on Saul. His attitude towards Saul was better than what most of us would have done. Saul realized the wrong that he had done, and not many of our enemies will admit when they are wrong. But then again, how good are we to admit when we are wrong? How good are we to admit when we are wrong? Well, I think sometimes pride gets in the way. Pride gets in the way of us admitting when we are wrong. You know, but that's dealing with each other. But what about admitting when we're wrong to God? You know, are we good with that? Are we good at admitting when we've done wrong? Even though God already knows. God knows when we've done wrong, but we aren't very good owning up to our faults. You know, we aren't very good at that. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And this is my second point this evening, is we are blessed if, number one, if we have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11. "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So we are blessed if we have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And also when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Christ. So when things are, we are blessed if we go through those things. If we go through those types of those things, like when people say all kinds of evil against us, you know, we know that that happens, and we do know that we're going to go through that. People aren't going to always like us, and especially aren't going to like us because we stand for something. We are set apart. They see something different about us. And also, if we look at verse 12, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We know that the prophets went through persecution. We know that the disciples went through persecution. Christ went through persecution. Well, it's inevitable that we are going to be persecuted as well for the things that we do. So we must realize that not everyone we come in contact with will listen to God's word. Not everyone will be reached. We won't be able to reach everyone we come in contact with. God, you know, God is patient with us, so we need to be patient with others. You know, there will be those we cannot reach, so we just have to move on to the next soul that wants to listen to God's word. If you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, and let's look at verse 21. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink." You know, that's the attitude that we need to have. Those are acts of kindness, and we need to treat our enemies as so. But we need to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. If you would, turn back to Matthew, and we're going to look at verses 43 and 44. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" And then verse 44 of chapter 5 of Matthew. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Pray for those who persecute you. You know, that's easier said than done at times. You know, that is easier said than done. We have to remember that our enemies are souls as well. We need the attitude of Christ, you know, and I couldn't help but think about Christ here when he was on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." What an attitude, you know, what an attitude to have while he was suffering on the cross, when he was bleeding and they were throwing insults at him and ridiculing and mocking him. That's the attitude that he had. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was praying on their behalf. What an example he left for us. You know, yet he like I said, he was beat, he was mocked, spit on, but yet he had that type of attitude. Also, I couldn't help but think about the stoning of Stephen. If you would, turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and let's look at verse 59 and 60. Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. "They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" And then verse 60, "Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." There we go again. What an attitude that he had. You know, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." That is a wonderful attitude to have. Sometimes our enemies don't know what they're doing. And we need to keep that in mind. They have no idea what they're doing. If you would, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's hard to be at peace with all men, but we should strive to live peaceable each and every day. That's the way we need to live. Try to keep the peace. Be peaceable with all men, and do it each day. You know, we are very vengeful people, but we should think things out before we make rash decisions. And that's the problem with today. Are we thinking things out before we do? You know, sometimes we say some hurtful things in our anger. And we have to be careful how we do that, because that tends to break down relationships in the negative way. And we need to practice the things that we need to be better with those people. We need to make sure we think things out. Think things out before we... I've always heard it said, think before you speak. And that is... there's a lot of truth to that. We need to think before we speak. Have you ever wished something bad for an enemy? Have you ever wished something bad for an enemy? You know, I just want you to think about that. And I think that we've all done that at some point in time in our lives. We've all done that. But that's the wrong type of attitude that we need to have. You know, we should replace our evil thoughts with good thoughts. Replace our evil thoughts with good thoughts. And also replace it with kindness. Replace it with kindness. If you would, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and let's look at verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And then verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. You know, the key word there, I think, in verse 10, as we have opportunity, while we have opportunity, I have to question there, are we seeking those opportunities to do good? You know, are we seeking those opportunities to do good? Those are the things that we need to look for. We need to be looking for opportunities to do good. Do good to all people. You know, that's the main thing. We need to look for those opportunities. Sometimes we pass up opportunities. You know, sometimes opportunities come right by us and we pass them up. And we need to step out and take those opportunities that we have to speak to someone about Christ. You know, or at least invite to services. There's so many, we have no earthly idea what impact we have on people if we just put ourselves out there sometimes. We just have to go out and invite and ask them, you know, invite them to Bible study. Or there's so many things that we could do. But sometimes we pass up opportunities. You know, there's enough negativity in our world today. There's enough in our lives and also in the world. We need to look for the open doors. We need to look for those doors that are open. You know, we, our lives have enough negativity without adding to it. Without adding to it. We need to seek to do good as much as we can. Seek to do good as much as we can. The only way that we can conquer our enemies is if we love them and treat them with kindness. We need to love them and treat them with kindness. The third thing I want to mention this evening is that we need to be patient with our enemies. We need to be patient with our enemies. If you would, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. So we need to be patient when we've been wronged, when we've been made fun of, or someone insults you or talks badly about you. We need to be patient when those people are wronged. God is patient with us, so we need to be patient with others. You know, sometimes we aren't even patient with each other. We aren't even patient with each other. You know, nothing gets resolved if we can't talk things out. And we need to be able, as Christians, we need to be able to talk to each other and maybe come to an agreement. We don't want to be at each other all the time. Doesn't mean that one or the other's right or wrong. We just have to come to an agreement. But nothing gets resolved if we don't talk things out. We need to be reminded how patient God is with us. God is very patient. If you would, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible reads, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." The Lord is patient toward you. He's patient towards me. That's how patient God is. Patient God is we have a very patient God. You know, sometimes we tend to hold grudges and we aren't very good at talking things out. You know, sometimes we fly off at the handle and things. We do a lot of things just in our own anger. You know, we don't think about the things that we do and say in our anger. And there are things that make us anger, but we need to think things out. You know, the things that we say, that's more damaging than anything that we ever do, is the things that we say to not just one another, but others who may not be of the same faith, who may not know Christ. Like I said earlier, we are that example. You know, we are to be examples, and they need to see Christ in us. They need to see Christ in us. But we do say some hurtful things in our anger, and we need to be careful about the things that we say. I got just a couple of Proverbs that I want us to look at tonight, and then we'll close. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14, let's look at verse 16. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. So we want to be that type of person. We know we need to be cautious and turn away from evil. That's the person we want to be. We don't want to be found foolish. And if you would, go on down to verse 29 of chapter 14. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. So we need to be careful, in our anger. And main thing is that we think things through. Think things out. If you would, turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So do not let kindness and truth leave you. We've already been given the truth. Do not let that leave you. Also with kindness, you don't let the kindness leave you. We need to be kind to each and every one that we come in contact with so that they may see Christ in us. May we always strive to love our enemies. May we strive to live peaceable with all people. Also, we need to pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. Pray for our nation as a whole. We need to come together and also get the right people in office. We need to pray for our nation, though, and pray for each and every one. Pray for those on 9/11, the ones that have lost loved ones on 9/11. Those were impacted for the rest of their lives, and we need to always be reminded. But the main thing is that we need to pray for our enemies and pray for each other. Pray for each other. The lesson's yours this evening. If you haven't become a child of God and haven't put on Christ in baptism, or if you have, if you are a child of God and you're struggling in life, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.